The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
200 years before Jesus, there was a Greek king who had a problem. He had commissioned a goldsmith to make him a crown out of gold. And to do that, the king supplied the goldsmith with a big old lump of gold, and in response, the goldsmith gave him a nice crown. But the king had this suspicion, and the suspicion was that the goldsmith didn't put all the gold in the crown, that maybe he pocketed some for himself. Now, you could simply weigh the crown and see if it weighed the same amount as the gold that the king had given, but goldsmiths could mix other metals with the gold, and so it would end up weighing the same amount. How was the goldsmith to know? He turned to a Greek philosopher, scientist, mathematician named Archimedes and said, "Archimedes, solve this problem. How can I know if my crown is truly made of gold?" Now, Archimedes spent a lot of time thinking about this problem, and he was stumped until one day he took a bath. And as he got into the bath, he noticed that the deeper he went into the bath, the higher the water rose in the bathtub. And it occurred to him, what changes how high the water goes is not how heavy I am, but how much space I take up. And so even if the gold weighed the same amount of the crown, the question is, does the crown take up as much space as the gold that was initially given, no matter what the shape is? And in that moment, he figured out the concept of density and displacement in water, and he was so excited that he had an answer for the king that he leaped out of his bath and ran naked down the city streets shouting, "Eureka!" Now, Eureka is just a Greek word which means I have found it, and you as Californians should know it because it is your state motto. Eureka, right there on the great seal of the state of California. And the reason is because when a fellow found gold at Sutter's Mill, Sutter said, "Don't tell anyone about this, otherwise everyone's going to come and take over our land." But the guy couldn't keep his mouth shut. He kept everywhere he go, "I found gold, I found gold, I found it, Eureka!" And people came from all over the world to California to find what he had found. And to this day, when someone makes a discovery that's so exciting they can't help but share it with the world, they shout, "Eureka!" Well, today, in John chapter 1, verse 41, Andrew says to his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah." Literally, he says, "Eureka!" He says, "Eureka, men," because that's how you say it in plural. "We have found the Messiah." We love to tell people when we have found something amazing, right? Have you seen this new show on Netflix? Or you gotta try the place that just opened downtown. The food is amazing. I got this great new diet that's worked wonders for me. You should check it out. I just got back from vacation. And when I was in Albuquerque, my grandpa, he's 93 years old. He was so excited to take us to a new cheese restaurant that he discovered. And I'm so glad he did because it was delicious. Even our daughter loved it. And then when we got back, I wanted to go hiking. I stopped by Mountain Sports, and the manager there said, "You gotta go try hiking up at Castle Crags. Go all the way to the top." And I am so grateful he told me about that because it was a fabulous hike. We love to tell people what we have found because it brings them joy. And yet, when it comes to sharing what has been most important in my own life, what has given me the most meaning, which has transformed me in the way that I most cherish, which is Jesus, I find I often keep my mouth shut. And I think there's a couple reasons for this. The first is, most of the people I see sharing Jesus do so in a way that makes me not even want to participate, yeah? I walk through Bidwell Park a lot, and nearly every time I do, I find little pieces of paper along the side of the trail, and the little pieces of paper are always saying, "You gotta find Jesus," and when I pick up those pieces of paper, I don't think, "Eureka!" I think, "Stop littering!" And I think the other reason is, you know, people ask, "Hey, where's good to eat?" Or, "What have you been watching lately?" But rarely do people ask, who is the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who will take away the sin of the world, right? They don't ask you that. And so sometimes it can kind of feel hard to find a segue. And I think part of the reason people don't ask that is because people don't honestly know what they're looking for in life. I think, honestly, most of the time, I don't know what I'm looking for in life, much less how to share it with others. But even when we don't know what we are looking for, Jesus shows us. And what the gospel in John chapter 1 shows us today is how to share Jesus, how to get to that eureka for ourselves and for others. And it does so with three simple steps: see, celebrate, and accompany. We're going to start with see, because before you can share Jesus with anyone else, you've got to be able to see him for yourself in your own life. John the Baptist says that he came baptizing with water for this reason, that the Messiah might be revealed to Israel. And today, we continue to baptize people for that same reason, because when we pour the waters of baptism over someone, we see in that person Jesus. But baptism isn't the only way that we can see Jesus in our lives. You have all those pieces of paper on your chairs because we want you every single day to try to see where Jesus is in your life. And if you don't know how to look for him, I invite you to hear what John the Baptist says he looked for when he was baptizing. He says he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah because when John baptized him, he saw the Holy Spirit land on Jesus like a dove. Now, a dove is an interesting way to describe the Holy Spirit. The dove is most famously in the Bible in the story of Noah's flood, when God was so angry with how humanity had screwed up the world that God said, I'm just going to wash away all life and flood this earth. God remembered, but you know what? Life is still precious, and so I'm not going to wash it all away. And when the waters receded, Noah and the animals that he had saved in his ark wondered if it was safe to go out of the ark in which they were. And so Noah sends out a dove. And when that dove returns with an olive branch, Noah knows there is life again on this earth. That in the midst of all this destruction, new life can still be found. That is what John is saying he saw in Jesus, that intersection between the destruction that is so real in this world and the promise of life that still exists. And friends, this past week, I saw that same Holy Spirit like a dove in the face of my grandmother. Her name is Artemisa. She is 90 years old. Her body is deteriorating. And she says very explicitly that she wants to die. There is nothing that she feels life has left for her, except when I show up with my daughter. And then all she wants to do is tell her that she loves her and to kiss her. She, in that moment, is a dove bringing back an olive branch from the devastation of her life. And in her, I see Jesus. I think sometimes we don't want to share Jesus because we think we don't have all the answers to the questions of theology. Of course you don't. You never will. But what you have are those moments where God's grace intersects with the brokenness that you know in your life. And on that subject, you are an expert. So write it down. That way you won't forget. Because once you have seen God in your life, the second step that we are called to is to celebrate it. And I say celebrate because I think so many Christians go wrong on this second step. I think a lot of Christians are like, well, people don't know why they need Jesus, so I need to give them a reason why they need Jesus, which is that they're going to die in hell if they don't have him, right? There's an RV here in our local community that drove by. It says, find Jesus or die. Whoa, okay. Or there's an old joke of Jesus, you know, knocking on the door saying, "Let me into your heart so I can save you." And the response is, "Well, save me from what, Jesus? Save me from what I'm going to do to you if you don't let me into your hearts." It's like, whoa, is Jesus here just to save us from Jesus? No, friends. John the Baptist, before he meets Jesus, he likes to talk about fire and axes and chopping down. But we see in John chapter 1 that as soon as he actually sees Jesus, when he sees that Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove, John stops talking in those negative terms and he starts talking only in the positive terms. What John says is, "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, once again, if you say that to people today, they're going to go like, "What in the world are you talking about?" But in Jesus' time, Jewish people still every year would sacrifice a lamb on the annual celebration of Passover. And Passover was a remembrance that there was a time when the Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt. And in order to convince the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, to let the Hebrew people go, God sent 10 plagues on the Egyptian people. And the final plague was the death of all the firstborn children. But God said to the Hebrew people, "If you take a lamb and slaughter that lamb and spread that lamb's blood over your door, then the angel of death will pass over your family, your children will be spared." When John the Baptist says Jesus is the Lamb of God, John the Baptist says, in this world of suffering, of oppression, there is someone who will set us free, and he is willing to die to make it possible to set us free, not just from the slavery we experience now, but for all of death and all of time, not just for the Hebrew people, but for the whole world. That is what he celebrates when he sees Jesus. And friends, you can celebrate when you see God in your own life. Sometimes you got to use a little different language. So, right, I saw God in my grandmother. And what that means is when people ask me, you know, "How was your trip?" I can say, "Oh, it was good. It was lovely, fine," or whatever. Or I can say, "You know what? I saw my 90-year-old grandma and her body is falling apart. And that's really hard to see. But I saw in her this incredible love for me and my daughter, and it allowed me to believe that in this world that is falling apart, there is an eternal love that will transcend all our suffering and death. That's my testimony." We share it, we celebrate it with people, and here's the thing. People might not respond right away. John the Baptist, he says, "There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." None of his disciples follow Jesus. And so the next day when Jesus walks by, again, John the Baptist says, "There is the Lamb of God." And then finally two of his disciples say, "Ah, okay, we'll check him out." Right? It takes him two times. It might take us 1,000 times. But our job isn't to force people to follow Jesus. Our job is to see and to celebrate, because to be an evangelist literally comes from two Greek words, eu, which means good, and angelos, which means messenger. It's also where we get our word for angel. To be an evangelist is to be one who shares good news. The world is scary enough. We don't need to scare people into following Jesus. We need to tell them that Jesus offers a solution, that Jesus is a savior to what they are struggling with now. And when they say, "I am ready to find out more," in that moment, we are called to accompany them. And that's our third step. Here's the thing. When John the Baptist says, "Here is the Lamb of God," and eventually his disciples say, "All right, we'll go follow and see who this Jesus guy is," The disciples don't go alone. They go in a pair. It's because anytime we do something new, it's scary. And when we're going to do something new and scary, it helps to have someone we know and trust to do it with. If you see Jesus here at church, praise God. But when you tell someone about that, don't say to them, yeah, go check out church sometime. No, say, hey, when you're interested in going to church, let me know. I will pick you up. I will meet you, and we will go together, and we will walk through the door so that when you come, you already know someone. So it's not some strange, unfamiliar place with people doing rituals you don't understand. It is a place where you have a friend who's going to help you make sense of things. But here's the thing. Church is not the only place where you see Jesus. I know it because church is not the only place where I see Jesus. If you see Jesus each day in your prayer and you share that with someone, they say, wow, that sounds really cool. Say, well, could I pray with you? And then pray with them in that moment and show them how it is that you come to know Jesus in your prayer. If you see Jesus when you are out walking and you see a bird like a dove and you're like, that's Jesus, and you share with someone, they say, wow, that's really cool. Say, would you like to go look for birds with me? And I'll share with you where it is I see God in these moments. If you've heard me talk about my grandma and say, that's amazing, I'm not going to bring you to church because my grandma's not here. I'm also not going to say, well, you got to get a ticket and fly to Albuquerque because that's where she is. What I will say to you is, you know, there's a lot of other elderly people here in Chico who don't know why they're alive anymore. They would love to have you come and visit them, and you will see in that person the love of Christ. I'm going to go visit one of them this week. Will you come and join me? And my hope is that you say, yes, I will. And in that moment, if you come and you see Jesus in that person, I will tell you what, your journey is not done. Those two disciples of John the Baptist, they go and they find Jesus, and he says to them, all right, you're here. What are you looking for? And they don't answer because maybe they honestly don't know. Maybe they don't know what they're looking for, but they know that they've heard this guy has it. And so they say to Jesus, where are you staying? Because wherever you are, that's where we want to be. And he says to them, come and see. You see, even when we have known Jesus, that process of looking for him never ends. In fact, sometimes it is those of us who've lived in the church our whole lives, we suddenly realize we don't know how to see Jesus anymore. Sometimes it happens just because we get stuck in a rut, or sometimes it happens because we experience a crisis of a death or a divorce or a diagnosis, and we say, where is God in this? In those moments, we need someone to accompany us. And that's why, friends, today we celebrate 50 years of Stephen ministry. Because within this congregation, there are Stephen ministers, people who are trained to accompany folks going through a moment in their life where they can't see Jesus anymore and they want to. And what a Stephen minister says is, I will walk alongside you and I won't fix your problems, but I will help you try to see where Jesus is showing up, where there is for you that Holy Spirit like a dove who promises peace, where there is for you that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and promises that death doesn't get the last word. They help that person look until they can see, until at last they can once again celebrate that Jesus is in their life and share it with others. Because when those two disciples go with Jesus to see, one of them's name is Andrew, and he doesn't just stay with Jesus by himself. Instead, he goes to find his brother, and the cycle repeats. We don't know what he saw when he stayed with Jesus, but we know what he celebrates, which is that when he sees his brother Simon, he says, we have found the Messiah, Eureka! And then he takes his brother Simon, and together they journey to go see Jesus. And when Simon sees Jesus, Jesus says to him, "Simon, son of John, you are to be called Peter," which means rock. And Peter will be a rock. He will be a rock that tries to walk on water and will sink in a lake. And he will be the rock on which Jesus builds the foundation of his church. Which is to say, Jesus sees in Peter all of who he is, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and Jesus still calls him. And that's what Stephen ministers strive to do, to say, yes, there is good, bad, and ugly in your life, but Jesus is still here calling you. Because the truth of the matter is, the place where Jesus is staying is with us, no matter who we are or what we have gone through. Friends, I don't know what you are looking for. The honest truth is, some days I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know there is one who is the Lamb of God. I know there is one on whom the Holy Spirit lands like a dove. I know there is one who is a Messiah who sees our whole self and yet stays with us. And while I don't know what you are looking for, I know the one who you are looking for, because I am looking for him too. His name is Jesus. And so, friends, together may we strive to see. Together may we celebrate, so that accompanying one another, we may say with joy to the world, "Eureka, we have found the Messiah." Amen.